What's out there that when people start surrounding themselves with being positive by getting rid of the negativity in their lives, things change for them? Why does it work?
They do, because when we move closer and closer to the place that we came from, see, all of us emanated here from the same place. You know, quantum physics teaches us that particles themselves do not create more particles. That if you take the particle that began you, that tiny little microscopic dot, and you take it back to its origins, and you look through the, through the atoms and the electrons and the subatomic particles, you ultimately discover that we came from an energy field. That there's no if you take the tiniest subatomic particle and that we call quarks and put them in particle accelerators and collide them and open up these particle accelerators, you discover that there's nothing there. There's only an energy there, and that energy is the source of everything. I mean, I've always said that Jesus was a physics major. That when Jesus said it's the spirit that gives life, he was really talking about what quantum physicists like Niels Bohr and Albert Einstein and Max Planck and so on came along and taught us. In the early part of the 20th century, that the energy field that we all emanate from is where we want to return. God realization is the highest place that we can get to. And at that subatomic level, when we start, Deepak has often said to me many times, he said, Wayne, quantum physics is not only stranger than you think it is, it's stranger than you can think. Because when you observe a tiny little particle, just by the nature of the way that you observe it, you change what you're observing. The observer literally affects what it is that they are observing. And there's an ultimate truth that I talk about on the PBS special on this book, The Power of Intention, which is that when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And it's like, I just was the recipient of what's called the Einstein Award at the Yeshiva University, the Einstein School of Medicine.
Well, congratulations for that.
Yeah, it was a great honor. And I went there and I talked to them about the his most famous observation to me was, he said, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to decide whether you live in a friendly universe or whether you live in a hostile universe. And if you believe that you live in a hostile universe, you will attract that kind of evidence for you all the time, and you'll attract those kinds of people, and you'll put your thoughts on them, and your thoughts are the energy of God. And so you'll attract what it is that you are placing your attention on. Whereas if you're living in a constant state of appreciation and you have a sense that this is a beautiful universe and you don't put your energy and your thoughts on what you don't want, because if your thoughts are on what you don't want, and whether you like it or not, what you think about is what you're going to get, whether you want it or not, what you're continually thinking about, so that you'll start attracting like-minded people, and before you know it, these things that you earlier were referring to, we were referring to as synchronistic events and so on, become absolute awarenesses or absolute knowings, because you're moving into a place called being in spirit or inspired. And there was a great teacher who lived 300 years before Christ. His name was Patanjali. And Patanjali said this about inspiration. He said, when you're inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project, he said, all of your thoughts break their bonds. Your mind transcends limitations. Your consciousness expands in every direction. And you find yourself in a new and a great and a wonderful world. And then he said these words, which are really relevant to what we're talking about. He said, dormant forces, faculties, and talents come alive, and you discover yourself to be a greater person by far than you ever dreamed yourself to be. That's one of the most important and relevant words ever. Dormant forces, that is, forces that you thought were inactive, that were dead, that were not available to you, come alive when you're inspired, meaning when you're in spirit. So that when your thoughts are of God or like God, that is, the source that you came from excludes no one. You know, it doesn't say, okay, you get to have your fingernails grow and your heart beat but you don't. The source that we all emanate from excludes no one. So every thought that you have that excludes some and includes others is a thought that's not of God. And when you leave your source, when you leave source energy, you lose the power of your source. So that when you have exclusive thoughts, hateful thoughts, shameful thoughts, fearful thoughts, all thoughts that are not of God, you lose the ability to manifest, to attract into your life what you want, to create what I call the power of intention.
So right. What does it mean, Wayne, when you tell people you have good karma or your karma's not good? What does that all mean?
It doesn't mean anything to me. I just think it's the idea that there's somebody up there in the sky keeping these Akashic records and saying that you have to work out your karma, to me that just doesn't make any sense at all. We are whatever it is that we place our attention on. Every experience that we have, we attract into our lives. We have to take responsibility for what we're experiencing, including our diseases, our illnesses, our fears, our worries, and even the fact that we can't find a parking place. When you put your attention on looking for a place to park, you'll start looking for a place to park when you pull into a lot, rather than looking for no place to park, and you'll start attracting it, and you'll see people even get out of your way and say, look, I'll move out for you. You can literally make anything happen by putting your attention on it and keeping your attention on it and never allowing an obstacle to show up in your way. Karma, and believing that this is stuff that's left over from past lives and so on, I just can't relate to that.
Well put, though, about the parking, because if you believe it, if you think it, it becomes so. And if you take the opposite approach, your whole life collapses around it.
We become what we think about. I mean, it's, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. It's the most profound words in the Old Testament. And this whole idea that you know, if that's true, George, if we become what we think about, and then you start to ask yourself, okay, what do I think about? You know, where are most of my thought energy? Where is it? And most of it, if you look at it, is on what you don't want, or on what's missing, or on what you don't like, or what always has been, or even on what is. Just what are the circumstances of my life that I don't like? The fact that I don't have enough, that my relationship isn't good, that I've got an upset stomach, that, you know, my kids are not doing well, whatever. And if your thoughts are continuously on all of those things, you will attract all of those things into your life if that law of attraction that I've just described is true. So again, it goes back to what do highly functioning people do? They put their attention on what they intend to manifest, and they shift off of what is or what always has been or what others think for them, and put their attention on it, and they're like a pit bull. They just won't let go of it.